Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourselves up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march or demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Out to move from outside.
many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him, and then you felt like you wasn't worthy, and so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room, and I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me, and I said, I want you to do this graph for me, and that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't, lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad, Cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will. Get high.
I used to observe that a lot of little shacks used to be by the track where black people were.
With the room in the back.
Yes, with the room in the back. That was a safety net.
Yeah.
Where black people who would move here and there and go from here and there looking for jobs, that's usually why we move, and the jobs would play out like they always did.
And do.
But we had a place to go. Because I used to observe that a lot of little shacks used to be by the track where black people were.
With the room in the back.
Yes, with the room in the back. That was a safety net.
Yeah.
Where black people who would move here and there and go from here and there looking for jobs, that's usually why we move, and the jobs would play out like they always did.
And do.
But we had a place to go when the sun went down. But now, those shacks by the track don't exist anymore. They came and built highways right alongside of those railroad tracks where those shacks used to be. Super highways. So now, if you get on a highway, you might notice that if you, sometimes you're right alongside of a railroad track. You see a train's passing
that
as you're driving.
That is true.
Down a super highway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, those highways used not to be there in the northwestern hemisphere. It used to be shacks along there. A lot of those shacks were on what we call railroad property. But the railroad people, the people that ran the railroads, didn't care much because nobody wanted to be down. That wasn't prime real estate.
No.
Nobody wanted to be by the tracks anyway. So black people used to build those shacks around there back when black people knew how to build shacks. Black people don't know how to build anything now because they used to build places for white people, but they cut them off with things called unions, took them out, took the carpentry all out of the schools and all like that. So how many black people do you know that know how to fix anything now? It used to be thousands and millions of black people that know how to build a house from scratch out of old pieces of lumber.
Wow.
A lot of people don't remember that. Most people are not that old to have seen it done. I'm old enough to remember when many black people used to get together on a Saturday afternoon. That was the only time they had off, or sometimes, or on a Sunday sometimes after church. They would get together, six or eight of them, and go down and build what they call a shotgun house. It wasn't much, but it was a roof over your head, a good solid roof. I've been in some of those houses, raised up in some, all right? They were excellent, solid houses. They could stand a lot of storm and rain. They weren't much, just maybe three rooms. But I've been in some of them, and there were many, 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 many of them. But along came the white supremacists and say, these Negroes know how to build stuff. We're going to fix that so the next generation won't know how to do anything except stand in front of a place that is built and beg, because they won't know anything about carpentry or masonry or how to make anything with their.
Today's podcast is titled The Power of One Square Foot. The Power of One Square Foot, 619-768-2945. But you know what? Before I get into that, I got to go through some trending topics here. I'm on Yahoo News. Here's the headline, and you guys can call in if you have any comments on this. Wife is devastated when husband pushes to make her little sister their surrogate the traditional way. Rethinking your marriage. So let me read this. A wife was shocked and heartbroken after her husband suggested going the traditional route of making her sister their surrogate. Let's see. She explains in the post, my husband and I have been struggling with infertility. We've tried some options, and right now we're looking into surrogacy. My sister agreed to do it, but my husband said he looked at how much time and money IVF would take and slowly started hinting that we take the traditional way. I was too shocked to even say anything, but he acted like what he said was not even a big deal. He explained that it was just a quick way for us to have a baby and spare the money and time to use later. I'm both devastated over the fact that, number one, he even entertained having sex with my sister just because he wants the easy way, and number two, if I ever agree, despite feeling uncomfortable, then I will always carry this memory of how the baby was conceived. The poster went on to say that she is 100% against the idea and is no longer comfortable her sister is no longer comfortable with the surrogacy. I refused and shut his suggestion down hard. He's now started guilting me, saying that I don't trust him, then saying I'm selfish for choosing to back out when he still wants to be a dad like expected when he married me, basically blaming me for infertility issues. I feel so devastated and like my body is useless and has failed me. I just can't express how I feel right now. She explained that her sister, 4 years younger than her, and 7 years younger than her husband, has no idea her husband suggested this and won't be finding out. I'm not even considering his suggestion, she explains. Well, folks, what do you think about that idea? The couple wants a child. And it's time, IVF, that technique, that's expensive and time-consuming. Would you want to hold out for that way if you have the resources to do that, or would you want to do it, you know, if you had a sibling? For me, I wouldn't want to be involved. No. To be honest with it. So that's the first trending topic for today. Would you be comfortable with in this case, it's a wife. And the husband has suggested they go the traditional way, that he has sex with her sister, his sister-in-law, and then, hold it, you know what, hold it. When this comes out, when the child is, this sounds like some hillbilly stuff. When the child comes out, the child will have, biologically speaking, the child's mother will be his mother. Oh, hold it, man. I'm getting... All right. I got to get into my hillbillyisms. Okay. When the child's born, the child's biological mother will be his mother. But his legal mother will be his aunt. And his father will be his father and uncle also? I don't know. Anyway, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't consent. I mean, let's say if I was the father in question. I would go to IVF if I had the resources, financial resources, go that way. But I'm not laying down with my sister-in-law. That's too, for me, too much hillbilly-ish for me. But people, they have surrogates, they have siblings and surrogates. There are people that are all right with that all around the world, but and a lot of them go the IVF way, if they have the financial resources. You know what, one way or another, because I'm sure there are people who have kids this way, but not on purpose. the father got, anyway. 619-768-2945. That's the first trending topic. And then the, let's see, what other trending topic do we have here? This war in, what do you call it? Ukraine. I call it a water war. Because, and let's put this in a chess analogy. Russia made the first move when they annexed Crimea, which at the time belonged to, you can call it disputed, belonged to Ukraine. All right, that's chess move number one on the board. Then the second move Ukraine made, because Ukraine can control like 75 to 80% of the water flow in Crimea. So they shut that down. You know, they built dams and other things, and, you know, people couldn't get water like they used to, and farmers couldn't, you know, grow crops and all that type of thing. So, you know, water's real basic and essential. So that was the second move on the board. Then the third move is what we have right now. You know, Russia, you know, is invading. Now, I'm sure there's a water oligarch somewhere that's giving, well, put it this way, no. Because I don't know for sure. I'm not over there. I wouldn't be surprised, I'll say, that there's a Russian water oligarch who had, or oligarchs who have given Putin, who's a figurehead. That's what politicians are. Politicians work for business interests. They're just visible figureheads. But I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, at least one or two or more water oligarchs are giving Putin his, or and the government, their marching orders on this. Wouldn't be surprised at that. So I consider it a water war, although most journalists are not reporting it that way. But, you know, annexation, chess move number one. Chess move number two by Ukraine. You know, they shut off 75 to 80% of the water flow. You know, and a significant part of portions of the population of Crimea moved after they were shut down with water. But in any event, so those are two basic trending topics. And like I say, I shouldn't really call these people hillbillies, but hey, that's what hillbillies do. But no, for me that'll be too weird. Now, culturally, depending on where you are on the planet, there would be no big deal. I know a friend of mine, when her de facto man, well, when her man died, because they weren't married, but let's see, her de facto husband passed away. Now, she was from a westernized culture. And she dated this dude from Senegal. So when he passed away, the mother, his mother, asked her, would she like to get together and get into a relationship with one of her other sons. But in that neck of the woods in Senegal, they culturally speaking, traditionally speaking, they roll that way. So, in any event, I guess I'm too Western. Then again, Western people do, it's not crazy. Western people they're all different type of relationships. I'll put it that way. There are more flavors of relationship than Baskin-Robbins has flavors of ice cream. And typically, Baskin-Robbins has 31 flavors that they alternate. But ongoing 31 flavors. And relationships, even in a heterosexual world, and this article was a heterosexual couple, but there are a number of ways. I mean, I don't think there's no such thing as a standard relationship now. Anyway. 314, your mic is open.
Boy, you really on a roll this today, L.A.
I ran across the article.
To the phones, man. See, these are things you have to do because you got to do things efficiently and, more importantly, economic.
Mm-hmm.
And also you got to cater to the circumstances and the wishes of the customer. Get in and get out and be about the day. Because life is short, life is sweet. So those things will make people go out and tell everybody, guess what? You know that one station? Oh, I had a marvelous experience.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Now, what's your take on either one of those topics?
Well, I kind of favor Mr. Putin. Putin is an example of a leader. Him and Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. There may be one or two other. That one guy in Rwanda, Kagame, he's also a good leader. So several of them that's left today that put their people first. They were supposed to take over Crimea because it was their access to the Black Sea, right? Where they have their fleet of ships and submarines. And also, if you go back in 2014, I guess it was, maybe
mm-hmm.
2014. Was not Yanukovych the president of Crimea? I'm sorry, not Crimea, but Ukraine, was he not overthrown? And it was elements, they say, of the CIA that helped that to happen.
No, I don't know the history of it.
Yeah, what about Joe Biden and his quid pro quo bribery of $1 billion to Ukraine based on they would have to fire the Ukrainian prosecutor who was looking into some corruption underhanded activities that his son, Hunter Biden, was involved in. Should that have been enough to get him in a lot of trouble? And to include insult to injury, he told him, well, call the president if you don't like it. Basically, you know who the president was, don't you?
No.
Barack Obama was the president. Joe Biden was the vice president.
Okay.
You remember the incident with him bribing the Ukrainian government, right?
I heard about it.
Oh, yeah. It was true. And two, Russia is not going to let the Ukraine become a member of NATO and be one to put missiles on their board, on his board.
Well, I agree with that. And I believe they have applied to NATO, haven't they?
Ain't no telling. The guy that...
And I think they've applied to the EU as well.
Well, that's funny. Everybody's running from the EU, right?
I know Britain is. And you know what? I don't like the euro. As a matter of fact, I know Germans, when they first got the euro, they didn't like it. As a matter of fact, about two or three of my friends, all them Germans said, and that live in Germany, they said, it's a shit currency. The price of everything just went up.
Mm-hmm.
And Russia's I have a friend that lives in Ukraine, and she's not crazy about the idea of Ukraine becoming a member of the EU.
Well, that's their country's business over there. United States don't have no, other than, of course, you know, when the Democrats get in power, you have stuff like this to go on.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump especially told NATO countries they need to pay more of their bill toward NATO. They need to pay more. Some of these countries depend on the U.S. for military support rather than them spending money to have their own military. Then they come up with these schemes with government-sponsored health care.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you had to pay for your own military, you wouldn't be able to have those socialist programs, right?
Right.
Everybody wants to lean on the United States, especially like Canada. Look at the grievous things that they've done.
Right.
I'm really in favor of this convoy. This convoy is going to have like 14,000 trucks, man. If you put them end on end, that will span over 170 miles. Do you know that?
That's quite
end on end, they will span over. Well, let's say if they all was contingent on the same size, which would be about there, they would cover anywhere from 110 to upwards of about 170 miles.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be an awesome thing to see.
Mm.
And being that we're in the States, the U.S., I don't doubt you're going to have any banks that's canceling their or freezing the driver's bank accounts like they did in Canada. That was an example of communism in an autocratic government. How lucky we are to be here, right?
I would say so, yeah. Blessed.
Moving on to the Supreme Court, I think Joe Biden was really ignorant to make that type of announcement saying that he's going to appoint a black female to the court. Those are appoint people according to their qualification. Racial identity is not supposed to be a means for hiring people, electing people, not electing, but appointing people, according to civil rights laws, right?
That's true, but you know what? He's a politician trying to appeal to a part of his base. That's my opinion.
Oh, yeah, you got a good opinion. I say so, too. He's trying to kowtow to blacks.
Mm-hmm.
Being that the election is coming up, they're going to be talking on certain points.
Some commentator wants to see her LSAT examination scores. I don't know what that would do, but.
Well, somebody say that she done had a lot of cases overturned. You know what that means, don't you?
Yeah.
She's inserting personal opinion into it rather than sticking to the Constitution. You know, like when politicians say, I'm going to legislate according to my heart.
Right, which you're not supposed to legislate from the bench. Well, you know,
and not
I'm
only
sure,
judges, but also
I'm
congresspeople
sure
too.
Backups. I'm sure they have. I mean, I'm sure they've got a list of already. If she doesn't get confirmed, you know, we got here's our second choice, third, fourth, you know, on down the line. So I'm
well,
sure they're not banking
judges.
The ranch
they
on
her. Don't necessarily have to be black, right?
No, they don't. Well, right. The court is what not the court. Justice
supposed
is supposed
to be blind.
To be blind.
Is justice supposed to be blind?
Yeah, justice is supposed to be blind, including colorblind.
There you go. And there's examples of when you thought that somebody would rule a certain way because of their organization affiliation, they turn out to be blind when it came down to cases, especially those that seemingly appeal to a certain ethnic group.
Right.
So you had some former Ku Klux Klan members that ended up on the bench. And when it came down for them to rule, and I'm sorry, vote, they voted along for what was called civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they did.
Well, when are her hearings start, the confirmation hearings? They haven't started already, have they?
I don't know, L.A. I don't keep up with that. I think there's enough of other things for me to keep up with than for something like that. It was another lady that was also mentioned. I think she's a Nigerian ancestry. I would have like to have seen what her qualifications was. It probably was impeccable. And, of course, you wouldn't, you know, people say, we want somebody who has our experience or your experience, but once again, that they're not supposed to come into account.
Well, be interesting.
Have you heard any more on what's going on in Nigeria about the ethnic cleansing that's going on with the Fulani?
No, I haven't, but let me.
I hear they've
well,
killed
give,
big
give us
time.
Latest update until I find it on my phone.
Yeah, I think they're having some real, a lot of killing going on and raping. Where's the squad making comments about that in BLM?
Let me see. Ethnic cleansing Nigeria. Ethnic cleansing. Yeah, well, be a Black Lives Matter, they just, you know how selective they are. Let's see, I forgot to put ethnic cleansing Nigeria. I put in ethnic cleansing Nigeria.
I was just looking for some fresh fish. We have a store here called Sprouts, which competes with Whole Foods.
Mm-hmm.
My grandson said he's been there. And looking at their advertising, man, they got some nice-looking produce and other things. I think I might have to check them out.
Mm. I'm reading right here. Is genocide happening in Nigeria as the world turns a blind eye? Let me see. In the recent 6 years, the world has witnessed two clear cases of genocidal atrocities. The first occurred in Syria and Iraq. perpetrated by the Danish against the religious minorities such as the Yazidis and Christians. The second took place in Myanmar, perpetrated by the Burmese military against the Rohingya Muslims and other religious minorities. On November the 10th, hold it, that's going back to 2010. Okay, let's see.
Yeah, you got to type 2022 in there.
Okay. 2022. All right. Amid Nigeria's violence, a local peace process advances. All right, 2020, 2021. Oh, here it is, 2022, World Report Nigeria. Okay, except Cooker. The Nigerian government's banned on Twitter. That's Twitter. The reported death of Boko Haram leader changed the dynamics. The International Criminal Court determined in December 2020, that's going back, there is yet to be accountability for the violence and other abuses against protesters during the October 2020 protests against police brutality, including when security forces shot a peaceful protester at the Leaky Toll Gate in Lagos, violence in the northeast. Armed groups known locally as bandits carried out a widespread killings, kidnappings, and lootings across several states in Nigeria's northwest region. These groups emerged following the years of conflict between the nomadic herdsmen and the farming communities. According to SBM Intelligence, a Nigerian research organization, 519 people kidnapped, 22 people were killed in kidnapping-related incidents in northwestern Zamfara, in the Zamfara state alone between January and June. The activities of these groups have also caused massive displacement. That's one to make you feel like booking a ticket real quick.
Yeah, how many people were kept there?
Over 500. I think 519 at least.
Oh, my goodness.
519 were kidnapped. 22 people were killed in kidnapping-related incidents.
How many of the perpetrators were captured, you see? They mentioned.
I'm scrolling down here. I haven't seen that yet.
Well, check this out. If you had 500 some odd people kidnapped, and this is not nothing new. Matter of fact, I would say this is some age-old stuff that's been going on. I mean, we have to agree to that. I mean, you're talking about some things like this been going on for thousands of years.
Right.
Now, the people that was kidnapped, where do you think they would end up at? Especially during a particular time in history, say the 13th and 14th century.
Over here or other places, here, South America, and other places.
There you go. They were sold off because they were valuable, because there was a demand. They'd take them down to the markets, or shall I say, well, heck, they would have to take them over because there wasn't no slave castles in Nigeria.
Mm-mm.
They would have to walk them over to Ghana and sell them to those merchants that was there buying people, especially in the St. George Castle there in Cape Coast. You walk up with somebody bound, as they did, and they would take them there to the castle and sell them per person.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be held there until there was a shipload, then the ships would come and they row them out to the boats and load them up. That's how they work.
Mm.
Now, the people that was injured, guess what they would do?
What?
Being that they was injured and didn't have no way to fight back, their only alternative was to put some curses and spells on those that done them harm.
Yeah, I can imagine that happening.
Generational curses. Generational curses that still exist today. Maybe that help account for some of the behavior that you see among certain groups here in the United States.
Hmm. Let's see. The Nigeria unfolding genocide, there's no exact death toll. The exact death toll is unknown. At least says this article. Let me click on that. Tell you this, you need to be aware. You got a lot of these people that want to, what do they call it, repatriate us? That's the term they use?
Yeah, you think they would.
You need to know, you need to find out what's happening right now.
You think they wouldn't kill some people from America, some blacks from America, if they was over there?
No, they wouldn't. I'm sure that's happened. It might not have been in the news.
Well, if they're trying to get money off of people, wouldn't they not hold them hostage?
Yeah.
You know, and of course I know they hold whites hostage. I ain't never heard of holding a black American hostage because you come home.
No, but I'm sure they have robbed Americans.
Well, yeah, they do.
That can happen anywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
That can happen anywhere you go.
But I ain't never know nobody pay any ransom to get a black American out.
No, I haven't either.
See,
matter of fact, Dave Chappelle had a joke about that.
Listen to all this damn rhetoric and let them go.
Mm.
But anyway, I just wanted to mention that. I don't want to pick up on your time.
Well,
you got the...
I'm kicking off early today.
You can get off early today.
Yeah, I'm getting off early today. What's today, Thursday?
Hour.
Yeah,
hour
yeah.
15 minutes, man.
Hey, I'm,
you can go out and
go
out
and
tend
get me
to that pot
belly. Huh?
You can go out and tend to that pot belly.
You know what? And, yeah, I got to feed that pot belly pig in 20 minutes. So let me get around to that. I'll talk to you later, Bianchi.
All right, then, L.A. It's always a pleasure.
Okay, thanks.